God is able. I suspect in a future Sunday you will hear that. The title of this one, the rough title, begun yesterday when I got the message that he was sick, is The Timely Jump Start. I suppose that I had let my car sit for too long without driving it. I don't really remember why that was, whether we had gone on a trip or we were mostly using Gene's car. Anyway, when I went to start that day, the car wouldn't start, and so I pulled the card out of my wallet that had the phone number that I was supposed to call when I needed help. About 30 minutes would be my guess, came the voice of the woman from the dispatcher desk. Let me see where he's at. And in about half an hour, sure enough, this large tow truck pulled into the driveway. Now, the man who got out looked to me kind of like a modern-day John the Baptist. Full beard, fabric coat well-worn, patches. There was a hint of a tobacco pouch protruding from one coat pocket, and his boots, judging by their wear, had seen many a forest trail and muddy riverbank. He was an outdoorsman, for sure. From the metal box welded to his truck, he pulled out the jumper cables he would need, and he attached them quickly and efficiently. "Let's get her started," he said. Pretty much all business. And so I turned the key, and vroom, she kicked off right away. "Let her run for a while," he said. "And then don't let her sit up so long next time." He was several inches taller than me and much heavier, and he commanded my complete attention. I may have even said, "Yes, sir." Anyway, when he was satisfied that the battery was sufficiently charged, we signed the necessary paperwork, and he was off, and soon thereafter, so was I. So now, as to the John the Baptist we have read about, I think from this passage in Matthew, you can guess he was also pretty much all about business, a no-nonsense kind of guy. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Matthew himself is doing the paperwork on this visit. And Matthew paints a vivid picture of John in the wilderness among all those wild elements and the crowds, the huge crowds coming out to see him, to confess their sins and to be baptized. John, kind of a tow truck driver of his time, had been sent to jumpstart God's people who had been idle for too long. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And it is not just repentance that will satisfy John. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees, members of the religious establishment, come out for his baptism, he rails at them, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Here are clear echoes of our recent stewardship campaign. You shall know them by their fruits. To repent is the first and vital step. To live the Christian life thereafter is the true test of our sincerity, of our follow-through, of our lifelong commitment. And with the mention of Abraham, John is saying, in essence, that it doesn't really matter how many years your grandfather taught Sunday school or your granny sang in the choir. God's expectation is for every generation, you and me, for us, to be about God's work in our time. I was baptized at the Jordan. I had not intended to be, and the tour brochure suggested that we would stop in the place, the traditional site where Jesus was baptized. I said to myself, "My theology suggests that one baptism is sufficient. I will go with the group, of course, but I really don't feel the need to be baptized again." By the time we reached the spot, well into our two-week pilgrimage, I had gotten to know Bob and Ruth. I had been in ministry for a decade. Bob was already retired. I was, by that time, still relatively fit. Bob had lost both feet to a disease, and so he walked the rocky terrain with difficulty and with the aid of two crutches. I suppose that I knew his story better than most because I had walked with him the kind of just in case something should happen. And we had talked a lot and dined together. He had, I judged, over the course of his ministry, paid his dues, pastored modest congregations, served in the truest sense of that word. He was one of those people who devotes his life to the kingdom without the rewards that come to some, myself included. When we arrived at the Jordan, people lined up to be sprinkled with that biblical water. But I was sticking to that Pharisaical belief that one baptism was a limit. I was certain that my seminary professor who taught me that, and John Calvin himself for that matter, would frown if I agreed to a second sacrament. But here was Bob, older, crippled, unappreciated, gathering his crutches with excitement and hobbling off the bus and toward the river with the determination of one whose life dream is about to be realized. There was none of the tow truck driver in Bob, but he too was John the Baptist for me in that moment. He taking the lead to jumpstart my feelings again. His example calling me to humble myself and to repent and to come and to be washed along with everyone else in that spot where perhaps eons ago Jesus had waded into the same water. Repent, the prophet cried. And now there was a lump in my throat. I followed Bob to the water. The whole experience was, perhaps for Bob, but certainly for me, a jump start. I was at that point where I needed to consider what I would do next. I could stay where I was comfortable, but if I did, both the church and I would lose our edge. It was time to make a move. Jump starts. Those moments when God, through some human intervention, gets our attention, the way to call us back to ourselves. And John the Baptist does not sugarcoat his message. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. Oh, mercy. And then, as if to introduce somebody who is standing just behind us, he says, "One is coming after me who is more powerful than I, and I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire." Jesus, as the story goes, is in fact waiting in the wings. We are not told any details in Scripture about how Jesus spent the last 17 years other than at carpentry. We last saw him at the temple as a precocious child. Somehow, somewhere, God has been preparing Jesus for this moment, and for him, it seems John the Baptist is the jump start he needs to reveal himself and to begin his journey and bear the fruit that only he is capable of bearing. Jump starters. I bet that you have had several. A teacher or a coach, an aunt or an uncle perhaps, or a counselor. Someone who said something just at the right time and you knew that message was not only from that person but from God. You could write your own list. I'll bet you're on somebody else's list too, because I know the kind of people that you are. So, no pressure on you, Ken McKenzie, if you happen to be watching, but an interim pastor is to be something like John the Baptist for us. Something of a tow truck driver who comes to get us fired up again and cautions us about being idle too long, because the needs of the kingdom are too great, the needs of people around us in here, and the needs of the world out there. Get well soon, Ken. And while you're home, rummage through the closet for whatever you have to wear in the way of camel hair and a good leather belt. We need to hear that prophetic voice again, the voice of crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Have us ready to meet our Redeemer, ready when he comes to gather up the wheat. Have us ready for his advent. Amen.